our Leadership Intelligence podcast series. The title of today's session is Understanding the Three Employee-Employer Contracts. My name is Charles Rogel, and I'm the Vice President of Products and Marketing for DecisionWise. I'll be moderating our podcast today. Our presenter is Dr. Tracy Maylett.
Hi, Charles. Thanks for this opportunity. I appreciate it.
Tracy is the CEO of DecisionWise. He holds a doctorate degree in organization change from Pepperdine University. He's also the co-author of the book Magic: 5 Keys to Unlock the Power of Employee Engagement. And he's currently co-authoring another book tentatively titled The Contract: How Misalignment Destroys Companies, Cultures, and Relationships.
Yeah, let's reemphasize that tentative piece
What version is that now?
That's right. That's probably version number 8 or 9, yeah. I think, on that title.
So we're going back and forth on that. Today we'll be talking about the three types of contracts that employees experience when working for an organization. So, Tracy, I'll kind of kick this off by asking you the question, why the book, The Contract, How Misalignment Destroys Companies, Cultures, and Relationships, tentatively to be retitled at some point?
Right, and I think that's part of the tentative piece of this. The idea here is that every organization has three contracts, and every organization being every entity. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a business necessarily. It could be a relationship that exists between me and another individual. It could be me and my spouse. It could be me and a large company or corporation. It could be the corporation to the individuals. But they all have three contracts that I guess if I were to come up with another title of the book, it'd be somewhere along the lines of the three contracts we all sign without knowing about that. Mm-hmm. So really, every organization does have these three contracts that exist in every relationship.
And talk to us about the three contracts. What are those three items?
The three contracts really are, the first one is the transactional contract. Uh-huh. The transactional contract is the one that we all know about. It's the one where we go into an organization, we basically sign up for certain things, mm-hmm. and I agree that as an employee of this organization, I will do certain things. So you as the company, you as the organization, promise me that I will come to work and I will have a safe working environment. So there's one of the pieces. And I'll tell a couple quick stories about that a little bit later on.
Yeah.
Another one is that I promise as a company that I will provide you with dignity and respect. In other words, I will treat you as a human being. It doesn't mean I have to give you all kinds of perks. That's not what we're talking about. But I will treat you with respect. You will have certain things. Another part of that is that you will have certain tools that you need in order to perform your job. Mm-hmm. So if I come to work and I realize that I'm supposed to be programming something and I'm given a 1982 Commodore 64 and it doesn't even work, then I realize I don't have the tools I need to. You've not honored your end of that transactional contract.
So a lot of these are kind of encompassed in the policy manual that HR
sure.
gives you, mm-hmm. maybe the other rules and responsibilities, the job description that you have,
right.
things like that. And they're pretty explicit.
They are. They're those things that are not implicit. There's nothing implicit about the transactional contract. These are the things that I know that any work environment should be able to provide me.
Okay.
And I should just expect that from the organization. A lot of times it is the stuff that's written in the policy manual, but a lot of the times it's not. But these are just the things that I should normally expect. Now, there's some things that I promise to do in return.
Yeah.
As an employee in this organization, I promise that I will do what I need to obey the rules. So I will keep you out of jail. I will, if I see something that's hazardous or unsafe, I will let you know what that is. I also, my biggest promise is that you pay me, mm-hmm. and I will, in return, give you a day's work.
Yeah.
That's a transaction that every organization has. And by the way, when we talk about organization also, I realize as we talk about this, we refer to it in business context, but these also can be used in other relationship contexts. So, for example, with my wife, I have a certain contract. It's not one that we necessarily signed. It's one of those that I should expect in a marriage. Mm-hmm. This is what the contract looks like. You're treated this way, and in return, I treat you this way. We have certain agreements. Or if we have a friend-to-friend relationship with somebody else, there's a contract that we have that's just it's very explicit. We know that friends treat each other in this way.
Yeah.
That relationship applies to customers as well. We know that if I do business with a customer, I have an explicit relationship that says I need to treat my customer this way, and the customer in return should receive this. So when we talk about businesses, understand that these concepts, this contract, can be used in any type of relationship that exists, and that's the transactional contract.
So when you're looking at a transactional contract, what are some of those things that get misaligned that causes problems between an employer-employee or in any type of relationship.
I like that. And you use the term misaligned. Misalignment is an important piece of what we're talking about. We can have, when it's any contract, we can have a what we refer to as a misalignment in the contract, or and that's what we call an expectation gap or contract gap. Or we can have a total symmetry. Symmetry is when my expectations are in line with what yours are.
Sure.
So we have this misalignment that often exists, and that is, I expect certain things in the contract, and it's part of the contract in a transactional contract. You promise to give me safety or a paycheck, and all of a sudden I've been working for 3 weeks and I haven't received a paycheck. Well, there's a misalignment.
Yeah, big time.
We have asymmetry in what we're discussing. I'll give you just a quick example of how it's not always related to the paycheck. There were a number of years ago where we received a telephone call from a large organization, and they had had something serious happen in their parking lot. They had 2 weeks prior to that an assault in the parking lot. Well, that assault was followed up by 1 week later another assault in the parking lot.
Dangerous place.
Exactly. Now, there's nothing implicit in our relationship that says you will be protected against assaults. There is something that is explicit that means that I should expect to be able to go to work. And part of our transactional contract is that you agree to guarantee me a safe work environment.
Yeah.
So that's something that would be a good example of how that's there. Now, what happened in that particular case is that contract was breached, that transactional contract. I didn't get what I was expected to get when I went to work.
So what kind of impact did that have on the employees then?
Yeah, that's exactly the reason why we were called in, is because not only did it impact those two employees who were assaulted in the parking lot, I'm sorry for the picture there, but it also it resonated with all the others that were there. In other words, all the others felt like our contract was breached. And by the way, that may now mean my contract is breached in the future. I just don't simply feel safe. And because of that, it created a very cultural rift in the organization.
Yeah,
very
all
dangerous.
Of a sudden you're not sure if you want to go to work, or when you're at work, you're worried about how to get to your car at night and that kind of thing.
Exactly. You know, when we say that when you adhere to or maintain that transactional contract, what it generates is employee satisfaction. A number of years ago, we would always get calls. We do numerous surveys every year, millions. And as we do these surveys, we get these responses. And it shifted over a period of time. We used to get telephone calls about, tell me about our employee satisfaction. And employee satisfaction doesn't necessarily generate engagement. It's different. I can be a completely satisfied employee and not be doing anything. I could come to work and be satisfied because my job doesn't require me to actually do a whole lot of things.
Right. You can read a book or whatever.
Exactly. And while we have this current happiness movement, which I think is great, you know, happy employees, happiness in life, it's wonderful. Just because I'm happy doesn't necessarily mean I'm engaged or productive.
Right.
Same thing happens with employee satisfaction. Now, when we honor the transactional contract, what we're doing is we're creating satisfaction. So in a marriage, we honor a transactional contract. We're satisfied in that marriage. If it's working with an employee, I'm satisfied with my relationship with the company. But that doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to act. So it's important to understand that what a transactional contract generates is satisfaction.
Which then leads probably to retention, maybe
sure.
attracting the right talent if they think you have a good contract in place. But I'm not going to leave a company where I'm satisfied.
For the most part. Now, that said, I want to talk about two other contracts here that does cause, especially today, we're seeing employees to leave an organization.
Okay. So let's talk about the second type of contract.
Yeah, sure. This is one that we don't often hear about. Now, where we do hear about this contract, this is called the brand contract.
Yeah.
Brand, B-R-A-N-D. And the idea here is that every company or every entity or every relationship carries with it a brand. I'm going to ask you to think outside the brand box here for just a second.
Okay.
We'll put it in terms that we all understand. That is, if we're dealing with a commercial brand,
We
expect that if I go to X store, you know, you hear all these stories about Nordstrom, for example.
Yeah.
Back as long as I can remember when I was going to school, you always heard about the Nordstrom brand. And Nordstrom was famous for the story of a person taking back tire chains.
Sure.
And they didn't purchase those at Nordstrom, but according to the folklore, Nordstrom returned money for those. They exchanged those tire chains.
Yeah.
Because it was a brand about customer service. So that's a good example of a customer brand. An employer brand a store brand that you expect a certain thing out of a certain organization.
Sure.
That's what the brand is. So the brand really, now let's translate that outside of customer service and say a brand is what we profess to be, or that face that we put on that others see. So in a relationship, that brand could be, you know, I'm dating and I expected that this person is what this person claims to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we laugh about this with social media these days, right? With the Facebook profile, the dating profile.
The picture looks a lot different than the person in person.
Yeah, the Tinder person I actually meet is not the person that they have on the profile.
Right.
That's the brand. This person claims to be this particular brand, and that's what I expect that I'm buying into mm-hmm. in this relationship, and it may be different.
So as an employee, how do I determine the brand of an organization that I work with or maybe that I'm looking to get an interview with?
That's an excellent question. Okay, so the brand itself is many have a very clear brand.
Uh-huh.
So, for example, a good one that I like is REI has claimed that they have a particular brand, and they claim that is an outdoor brand, and because of that, they closed down on Black Friday of last year. So this is an example of an organization that claims to be honoring its brand. They say to their employees, we believe in this. We believe in you spending time outdoors. We believe in you spending time recreating with your families or people that you're with, your friends. And because of that, we're going to support that with our actions. Now, you may question whether or not that was a marketing gimmick or a stunt or anything like that. But the fact of it is REI stated that they have a brand and they chose to honor that brand. Now, a lot of organizations have that brand. So if I know that I'm going to be working at X company, and this company touts that it's very effective and values process and things like that, I know that if I go to work for that company, that's what I should expect when I work there.
Yeah, and that's not explicit in the employment contract,
right?
The transactional contract.
You got it.
But you understand that because of the employer
sure.
brand.
Yeah, there's nothing in the document that I signed, or nothing that I should necessarily expect because it's common knowledge, you know, like safety and pay and this kind of thing. But because I joined that company and it's the brand that they profess, then that's the brand that I expect is honored. Now, let's take this back in the relationship context. If I establish a friendship with an individual, a lot of times it's because I profess the same values or mm-hmm. espouse the same values that they have. I recognize this person as this type of individual. Now, when we maintain that relationship, they're honoring the brand, and I'm honoring the brand. It's what they profess to be and what they show, that what that looks like. Now, when a breach of a contract occurs, it's because that brand wasn't honored. It's not what I thought I was going to get.
Yeah.
So back to your question that you asked a little bit earlier, that was, now, how does a company show you what that brand looks like? Well, it happens in a number of different ways. One is it could occur with the website. So you go to a website and it has a feel of, you know, it's all colorful and you see all kinds of things, all plugins and everything like that.
Real cool looking.
Real cool looking. You expect that brand, I go to work and I'm going to be working for a cool company.
Yeah.
And what happens on day number one when I get there and they sit down for the first 3 days and go through a policy manual? Well, to me, that brand has not been honored. So that's a way a company shows a brand, maybe the way they market themselves, a brand
sure.
that way. It may be because of reputation. It may be because, you know, the reputation of that company gets around. I know companies that work, the employees that work for a particular company, and they're treated this way. Therefore, they have gotten this employer brand.
Mm-hmm.
This would probably be a good time to talk about the concept of employer or employee brand proposition.
Right,
EVP,
right, EVP.
Employer value proposition, actually. We work with a number of companies, and I ask them, why would someone choose to come work for you? And they give us all the details. We have these perks, et cetera. And said, no, what really is your brand? What do you claim is your brand? Some companies do a great job of defining that brand. They say, this is what it is. But most companies, I would say 70% or higher, are unable to articulate what their brand is. Why is it that you should come to work for me?
Yeah.
In our case, why would you come to work for DecisionWise? What is it that we profess to be that you think you're joining? And most companies can't identify that. Also, within a particular company, there may be multiple employer brand propositions,
uh-huh.
Value propositions. So, for example, if I'm in a restaurant and I'm working in that restaurant and I see what the brand is. I value the brand of the restaurant, but then I get in my job and I'm a server. One of the things that's important to me as a server is, as we look at server populations, many of the servers may be single parents, a single mother, single father, taking care of children, or it may be I'm a college student. Therefore, what's most important to me in your brand is flexibility. Mm-hmm. I need a flexible schedule. Well, that's a brand that I hope I'm joining. When I join that company and realize I don't have any flexibility, then all of a sudden I believe that brand has been misaligned.
Yeah.
It's not what I believe it was.
So let's talk then about the third type of contract, that psychological contract.
Okay, good. The psychological contract is different than the other two. So the first one, when I honor that transactional contract, I get satisfaction.
Yeah.
The second one, when I honor that contract, I get commitment. Okay, that's different than satisfaction. I now become committed. Give you an example with this one, and then I'll head to the final contract. If I work with a company as a customer, mm-hmm. and I enjoy that company a great deal, they honor their commitments to me and they honor their brand. So yes, I do exchange my tire chains and in return they give me money back. Well, they've honored that brand or that expectation I have. Because of that, I become very loyal. I become very committed to that particular company. The same thing happens in a relationship. It happens from employer to employee. I now become committed to that company. Whereas before I was just satisfied. Well, now I'm not just satisfied. I'm committed. It's hard to pull me out.
Right.
The next contract is the psychological contract, and it results in engagement, which is different than those other two. So let's talk about what then the psychological contract is. First of all, the concept of the psychological contract is not new. It's been around since about 1950. And the idea here is that there are certain things that are explicit, like the transactional contract and even the brand contract. And these are the things that are out there. This is what we profess to be. This is what is made known. We talk about these things. But the psychological contract is often those things that we don't talk about. It's not because we're afraid to talk about it. It's simply because I have certain expectations psychologically. You have, as a company or as another individual, certain expectations, and we don't really talk about those. These are things that are not part of a transactional contract and not also part of the things that are part of the brand. These are things that within me are implicit. These are the things that are important to me.
Okay.
When those are honored, then they become an engagement. I become engaged in what I do.
Sure.
Now, we talk about engagement with our employee surveys. So last database that we analyzed had, what was it, Charles? I believe 24 million responses,
right,
something
yeah.
like that. So this is not a small database. And we looked at that and said, in order for someone to be engaged, what does it actually mean? And we narrowed it down to a very simple definition. It's when I bring my hands to work. Mm-hmm. So it implies that I'm doing something. I bring my mind to work. So these are both action items. But it also involves my heart and the spirits. Okay, so when we talk about heart, it is that desire, that love for my job. And spirit, if you think of team spirit, it's that passion that exists, that feeling.
Yeah.
So I bring both the idea of feeling and doing to work. Okay, that's kind of the idea of engagement. When that psychological contract is honored, I both feel and do, meaning that I get excited about it and I'm willing to dedicate that discretionary effort to this particular relationship.
Right. And so what are some examples then of items that are psychological or part of that psychological contract?
Okay, when I join an organization, I expect, let's look at transactional, I expect to be paid, mm-hmm. I expect to be safe, et cetera. I expect also now moving to the brand contract, I expect that what was professed to be, you know, the job I thought I was signing for was actually the job that I got.
Yeah.
So during the first few months of my employment, I'm excited about these because it's being honored. One, just an interesting side note, is we're brought in quite often with companies to understand about why they have attrition levels the way they do.
Yeah.
And as we do an analysis of these organizations, we find something pretty interesting that happens about month 6 to month 9. Mm-hmm. We find that all of a sudden their attrition, or number of people that terminate, goes kind of skyrockets at that point. And part of the reason is because during the first few months of employment, I'm looking at the brand, mm-hmm. the brand contract, and the transactional contract. Then I get used to my job, and all of a sudden I'm looking at some different factors now. Those factors are what we refer to as magic. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the first book that we did, Magic, 5 Keys to Unlock the Power of Employee Engagement. And the idea here is, as we studied what causes people to be engaged and what's in that contract, we found that there are five main keys, and they're represented by the acronym MAGIC. MAGIC stands for meaning, autonomy, growth, impact, and connection. Meaning, autonomy, growth, impact, and connection. When I have meaning in my job or in this relationship, it means that there's a purpose to this relationship beyond just the transactional contract that we signed.
Yeah.
So I joined my company, and the transactional contract's honored, and the brand contract. Now all of a sudden, those are there, and I feel safe in the environment. I'm committed, and I am satisfied with my job. Now, I hit, 6 months into this, and all of a sudden, those are there. Fantastic. Love it. But I'm not receiving quite what I'm after, but it's not something that was in a contract. For example, the meaning piece, and I'll go through each one of these. Meaning is when the work that I do has purpose beyond just the job itself.
Yeah.
So I find that there's some other reason why I'm doing this. So I get into my job, and I feel like my transactions aligned and the expectations are aligned. But something about this job is I just don't find a real reason why I'm doing it. It doesn't hit my heart.
Yeah. It's like, how does your work contribute to the greater good in some way?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not really contributing to something that I find more meaningful. Well, that's not something that was in a contract anywhere, but that's in my psychological contract. In order for me to be who I want to be, I need to have meaning in my job. You and I had never sat down and talked about it. It was never in a contract we signed. It wasn't in the promise that we have in our jobs, the brand.
Yeah.
But it's something that's implicit. It's something that's implied that I feel like I, as an employee, should get. Now, let's look at a relationship also. If I find that in this relationship we're just going through the motions and it doesn't mean something more than that, then all of a sudden I'm not fully engaged in that relationship.
Yeah.
It's not because you did something wrong. It's not because you didn't do something right. It's simply because I'm not finding that extra level, that psychological contract piece.
Okay.
That's the first one. That was the meaning piece.
And then autonomy.
Autonomy. Yeah. A lot of people think that autonomy is just complete anarchy. It's complete freedom to do whatever I want
to.
It's actually not. Autonomy is the freedom to choose how to perform my work in the best way. In order to do so, I need to know what those boundaries are.
You need a framework.
Framework, yeah. I need to understand the fences in which I can roam.
Yeah.
But I'm free to roam within those fences so long as I understand the boundaries and operate within those. A lot of people go into a job, and again, those first two contracts are honored. But all of a sudden, I've been there for a few months, and I'm realizing that, I'm kind of stifled. I'm doing what you tell me to do, but I don't have the autonomy or that freedom to choose how to do my job in the best way possible.
Right.
Because of that, I'm starting to feel like I have a psychological contract that hasn't been honored. So that's the autonomy piece.
And then growth?
This is one that sometimes we think may be in one of the other contracts, and sometimes it is. So right now, for example, call centers, it's very interesting as I see the way they're starting to advertise. It used to be, hey, come work at the call center because you get paid. And we'll pay you, 25 cents more an hour than some other call center. Now we're seeing a change in the way they're advertising. They're saying, come join our organization because we will give you growth opportunities. In fact, they start off with an individual who started out as a call center agent, and then she was transferred, and now she's a supervisor. Oh, and by the way, she was just made a manager. So you're seeing growth, and they're starting to advertise things like tuition reimbursement and career opportunities. They're talking career now instead of just, here's your job. The reason they're doing that is because they're putting into their brand a promise of growth. So now some organizations are taking the brand contract, and they're putting some of the psychological elements into that, which is neat to see. So there's kind of a mix there. When I'm not growing, let's apply it to a relationship, I feel like this relationship is stagnating.
Yeah.
Now, that wasn't in our transactional contract nor our brand contract. It's not something you promised me when I married my spouse. It's not something we promised. But if I feel like I'm stagnating in that marriage and not growing, then that psychological contract has been breached. There's a misalignment that has occurred. That happens in organizations also. If I feel like I'm not growing, that was never in any contract. It may have been part of the brand that was offered, which would be a little bit different. But
yeah.
it's it's part of what I expect as part of the psychological contract.
And then making an impact?
Yeah, impact is often confused with purpose. When you look at purpose, meaning, meaning is really, there's a purpose behind what I'm doing. There's a reason. Impact is there's a result. So I'm actually seeing something happen because of my work.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's take it to the relationship for a second. So I'm in a relationship with my spouse or significant other or boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. And I do things and I'm not seeing any result because of that. So I may bring my wife flowers. Mm-hmm. I may, you know, send a little note to a potential date or something like that. And there's an impact. I'm seeing that what I do actually creates results.
Yeah.
In an organization, the same thing happens. I feel like a contract is breached when I'm working all day long and all of a sudden there's no result because of that. My project gets scrapped. I've worked on it for the last 9 months and then the boss comes in and says, "Hey, thanks, we're moving on."
So you're just spinning your wheels.
Just spinning my wheels. I need to find impact in what I do. That's not written in the contract, but it is implicit in my psychological contract.
Something we need to really thrive.
Yeah.
And then connection.
Connection is a belonging to something greater than just yourself. That can happen in a few ways. One is it could be a connection to the people around me. I feel like I belong here. Or it could be a connection to the mission of the organization. I feel like this is really what I wanted to do. I'm connected to the organization. I am part of it. It is part of me. Part of our DNA are mixed. And the idea here is that when that connection doesn't exist, it's not part of either of the two earlier contracts. Mm-hmm. Nowhere in my contract says, will I work with people that I absolutely love to work with and that will find great friendship, nor is it that you'll believe in the mission of the company. The connection is there because I feel like I belong, and that is part of the psychological contract. Now, again, going back to the psychological contract, where the first contract, the transactional contract, was all about feeling satisfied, and the brand contract was about being committed, this is about being engaged. When those five magic elements, meaning, autonomy, growth, impact, and connection, are all there, now all of a sudden it opens up the ability for me to be engaged in what I do.
So getting back kind of to the title of the book, the working title of the book, How Misalignment Destroys Companies, Cultures, and Relationships, when these things are out of whack, then all of a sudden the employee's feeling like, ugh, you know, this didn't work out for me, or maybe I'm not going to work as hard. You know, I got the shaft on this latest project, so I'm not going to contribute as much as I did before. You know, you kind of lose that engagement. How does a manager then manage these components, or at least understand the contract better, to really get the best out of their employees, what they really want to accomplish?
We get that question quite a bit when we introduce. People get excited about the three different contracts because I think it resonates.
Yeah.
And we get that question quite a bit. They ask two questions, really. The one is, how do I recognize whether or not we're honoring the contract? And second is the question that you asked along the lines of, how do I make sure that I'm taking advantage of these or making it happen? The first piece of that I always tell them is, understand that there are three contracts. So most managers would tell me, no, I'm honoring the contract. Well, yeah, you honored the transactional contract, but you didn't really think about the brand contract. What was promised? Whether it was implicit or explicit, what did your brand that they joined, they thought they were getting into? What did they think they signed up for? Especially the psychological contract. Most managers don't think in terms of the psychological contract.
Yeah.
And when they talk to somebody or they come out with an announcement, often they're not thinking, how are people interpreting this? Is there a gap in the way they're seeing this and the contract versus what I'm seeing? So in answer to your question, the first answer is to be mindful that there are three contracts.
Yeah, because I guess employees are always evaluating their contract, right? It's constantly changing in some cases.
Right.
And they're thinking about it.
It's being breached, rewritten, or reinforced in all you do. Now, that's the second part of that was important that we didn't talk about. We're always rewriting the contract.
Mm.
So they're always, the contract doesn't remain stagnant, any of these three contracts. The transactional contract will remain more stable than anything else. That doesn't change a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The engagement contract does change, and it changes over time. So what may engage me one day, 2 years later, may not be the same factor. So be mindful that there are three contracts that exist. The second part of that is, as you're mindful of those three contracts, be mindful of every interaction. We call these, by the way, kairos moments.
Yeah.
Okay. So there are two different types of Greek word for time. One is chronos, and those are planned events that happen over a chronological period of time. That's where the chronological piece comes from. The other is chronos. These are unplanned moments of truth. So these are the things that happen to us all the time, such as first time a customer gets irate, first time my spouse and I get in a fight. These are events that aren't necessarily planned out or known ahead of time, but they occur. I, as a boss, need to understand that when we have those moments, what's this going to do to those three contracts?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a breach of the transactional contract. Sometimes it really is, we don't have safety, or I fire an individual. Sometimes it's a breach of the brand contract. So it is, I realize that as an employer, we promised you this. We promised you a fun environment and broke that promise. Or it could be a breach of a psychological contract. And that is that what is important to you, we're not honoring that here in the environment. So my real point on that one is awareness. It's a matter of awareness and understand that every interaction is going to cause that evaluation of that contract.
Well, and also, I guess, to talk to your employees, right? Find out where they're at, see how engaged they are, talk about those different components.
Yeah.
Well, Tracy, I want to thank you very much for the discussion today on the new book, The Contract, How Misalignment Destroys Companies, Cultures, and Relationships. And don't hold us to that.
Don't hold us to that title.
Look forward to the book. It's going to be published in the fall. We've already got a contract signed with Wiley, so we're looking forward to working with them to get the book publicized and promoted. So we look forward to more content. Tracy, anything else that you'd like to add before we close?
I don't think so, other than to just kind of reiterate the idea that these contracts do exist, and this is the reason for lack of satisfaction or satisfaction, lack of commitment or commitment, and then lack of engagement, which is disengagement or true engagement. And we need to be aware of what these are. So thanks, Charles. I appreciate the opportunity. I look forward to doing it again with you sometime.
Great. Thanks, Tracy. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Hope you can join us on our next Leadership Intelligence podcast.